بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم وما بعد. My most respected brothers and elders and Umads and sisters listening over the receiver at home, Alhamdulillah, we have been discussing various incidents, stories, malfuzat, anecdotes, wise sayings of our pious predecessors, Buzughan-ud-Din. Some are very simple stories, but the message is profound. They touch our hearts, they make us ponder, realize. We take so many things for granted. And these stories that we listen to, which are very simple in nature, but if we listen with sincerity, inshallah, they can be a means of giving us hidayat, inshallah. Like how we have seen from the various stories that we have mentioned. And these are all genuine, true incidents that had taken place in the life, in the lives of the pious people, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba ikiram ridwanullahi ta'ala, alim ajma'in, the tabi'in, tabi'i tabi'in, the great jurists, the fuqaha, the muhaddithin, mufassirin. So inshallah, we continue today. And the topic or the title in one of this incident that we will discuss today is the effects of Allah Ta'ala's name. Once Hazrat Abul Hasan Kharqani Rahmatullahi Alayhi was explaining the effects of Allah Ta'ala's name. Allah Ta'ala's name is so powerful. And the effect the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has is very great. It affects a person. That is why many times we find that a person who is not well is sick. And then we read some of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some ayats of the Quran Majid, which is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blow into the water, you give the sick person with the hope that he will get shifa because of the effect of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like that, Hazrat Abul Hasan Kharqani Rahmatullah was explaining the effects of Allah Ta'ala's name. He mentioned that the effect of taking Allah Ta'ala's name was barakat in a person's health, barakat in his deeds, barakat in his rozi, barakat in one's reputation, etc. He said, what an effect Allah Ta'ala's name has on a person's life. So the famous philosopher Ibn Sina happened to be in the gathering. Since he was a rationalist, always using his rationale, his intelligence, his mind militated against these statements. He did not accept what Hazrat Abul Hasan Kharqani Ramad was saying. And he said, at the end of the discourse, Ibn Sina said to Hazrat Kharqani Rahmatullahi, how can the mention of one word bring about so much change? You're saying, take the name of Allah Ta'ala once and so much of change. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali immediately responded. He understood the background of Ibn Sina and what was his objection. So he required to teach him and explain to him what effect Allah Ta'ala's name has. So he said, oh, you donkey, what do you know? This insulting statement greatly offended Ibn Sina. His expression conveyed his annoyance. In fact, in anger, he began to perspire. Hazrat Kharqani Rahmatullahi said, why are you perspiring? Ibn Sina said, you had made such a statement in this gathering, which constrains me to perspire. The term donkey had injured his pride. He felt insulted. Hence, he became annoyed and began to perspire. Hazrat Kharqani Rahmatullahi commented, in this gathering, I only said donkey, that you are a donkey, yet it affected you tremendously to cause you even to perspire. Is there no effect then in the name of Allah Ta'ala which could create a change in a person? The name of Allah Ta'ala is so powerful, so powerful. The problem is we don't have yaqeen in this. If we have yaqeen, conviction, certitude in the power of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this one Allah, it is so powerful. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after one of the battles, Dhatul Riqa it was, he was coming back with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, and they camped down a certain place. The Sahaba left a certain tree for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which gave off more shade, and they scattered, they dispersed, and they found their own places to sleep. And Rasulullah was sleeping alone under the tree. He hung his sword on this one of the branches, and he fell off to sleep. Suddenly an enemy comes and unsheaths the sword of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, awakens Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَنْ يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي. Now who's going to save you from me? I'm going to kill you now. Rasulullah SAW, all he said was, Allah. Now can you imagine who is saying Allah? The Nabi of Allah. With what conviction, what certitude, what yaqeen he had, with what conviction, what force, what effect, and took the name of Allah. That caused the enemy to shake. The sword falls off from his hand. Rasulullah picks up the sword. مَنْ يَمْنَعُكَ مِنِّي أَلَانَ. Who's going to save you now from me? He said, okay, please. كُنْ خَيْرَ آخِذٍ. Be a person who has taken the sword, such a person who will be forgiving and spare my life. Rasulullah asked him, would you accept Islam? Now look at the situation. We're going to digress a bit. Rasulullah has a sword now. And this person had come to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the tables have turned. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a sword in his hand. And nothing is stopping Rasulullah from killing him now. And he asked him, accept Islam. Anybody would have accepted Islam because he's scared. This person refused. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam still let him go. Nabi sallallahu did not kill him. This shows that Islam was not spread through a sword. If Islam was spread to a sword, then Nabi Sallam would have forced him. Or Nabi Sallam would have killed him. Nabi Sallam said, no problem, go. When this person went back to his people, he began to praise Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he tells his people, you know, I have come to you from the best of mankind. I haven't seen any person like this. So forgiving, so merciful. Now coming back to the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, this is the effect of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we read our salat, how do we commence our salat? Allahu Akbar. Immediately we're bringing about in our lives, in our mind, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In dhikr, what do we say? La ilaha illallah. You say Allah, Allah. Why? We have to remind ourselves all the time about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the effect of Allah ta'ala's name. The power of Allah Ta'ala's name, another incident has been mentioned. There was a Tatar prince with his army attacking, pillaging and plundering the cities of the Muslims. You know, the Tatars, at one stage, they were killing the Muslims. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslims became shaheed. Rivers had turned black because of all the Islamic books that were in the libraries. They had taken and thrown into the sea and dumped into the sea. And they had killed so many people. But after that, it is mentioned in the books of history that Allah Ta'ala gave them hidayah, they accepted Islam. So there was one prince like this. And he was attacking, pillaging, and plundering the cities of the Muslims. Before he entered the city called Darband, the entire Muslim population had fled in fear. When the prince entered the city, he was extremely pleased. He commented with delight, Muslims emptied the city on hearing my name. One of his men informed him that there were still two Muslims in the city. One was an old man, and the other one appeared to be his servant. They were sitting in a masjid. Greatly annoyed, the prince ordered that the two be brought into his presence in chains. Soldiers entered the masjid, fettered the two with chains, dragged them out of the masjid. Soon they were ushered into the presence of the prince. The old man was Hazrat Ahmad Darbandi Rahmatullah Ali. The prince bellowed, did you not know I was coming? The Sheikh replied, he said, yes, I was aware of your coming. So the prince said, why did you also not flee from the city? The Sheikh said, why should we flee? We're sitting in the house of Allah. The prince flew into a rage and thundered, who will now save you from my punishment? Sheikh exclaimed with force, Allah will save me. As he pronounced Allah's name, the chains broke, and fell from both, from himself and his servant. When the prince observed this miraculous episode, he understood that these two were no ordinary persons. He then tells them that you can remain in the city. And this is the name, the power of Allah Ta'ala's name. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hearts the effect of his name, the power of his name. May Allah Ta'ala grant us his true ishq and muhabbat and his marifat and make us realize his greatness, his supremacy. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi was a very great ruler. He was also, he lived a life of piety and justice. He is known as Umar Athani, the second Umar, the first Umar, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was renowned for his justice, his piety, his taqwa. Recently we had given a Jummah talk on Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi come from his family. It's a long story. Some other time we'll explain how he's related to Umar radiallahu ta'ala. But extremely pious. As Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, known as Umar the second, is famed for his taqwa. He's known as Umar the second because he had restored the Islamic government to the exact style and mode of the Khilafat Rashida of the golden age of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the second Khalifa of Islam. He had totally overhauled the corrupt system of governance, all properties which had been usurped by the previous rulers of the Bani Umayyah dynasty were restored to their rightful owners, and he had abolished the forms of taxation which Islam disallowed. Among the haram taxation was the jizya tax, which Islam levies on dhimmis, the non-Muslim citizens of the Islamic state. They got to pay a certain tax, but their lives are then secure, they're safe. No person is allowed to kill a zimmi who is giving this tax that he is paying. The previous rulers had retained this tax even after the zimmis embraced Islam. That wasn't permissible. It was haram, it was zulam. The man accepted Islam, he no longer regarded as a zimmi, so there's no question of any tax. After the abolition of the haram taxes, the state coffers were quickly depleted. The governor of Iraq wrote a letter to the Khalifa, Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, complaining about the lack of funds required for road works and the upkeep of the masajid. That governor thought that he'll use these type of taxes to upkeep for the upkeep of the masajid and for the roadworks. He complained about the roads and masajid having fallen into disrepair because there were no funds in Baitul Mal, which was depleted as the consequence of the abolition of the taxes. So Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi abolished all these taxes. The Khalifa Umar bin Abdul Aziz writes in response, he says, Allah Ta'ala had sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a hadi, a guide for humanity, not as a tax collector. Teach the people of Iraq how to perform salat correctly with khushu, khudu. That is the repair and beauty of the masajid. We've got our own conditions. MashaAllah, we have to repair the masajid and make sure the carpets, everything is right. But our whole concentration is on the zahir of the masjid, big, big minarets, mashallah, big domes and lavish masajid. Millions and millions of millions of rands we spent. But where's the khushu and khudu in the salat? That is the repair and beauty of the masajid. And teach the people to conduct themselves as human beings on the roads. That is the repair of the roads. We know about road rage and how we behave on the road. Somebody makes a small mistake and now we want to show him a point. And we use vulgar language. We forget the topi, dari, kurta we've got and amama. And we're displaying our so-called Islam to them. How will the person accept Islam? How we drive on the road? As though it belongs to us. So the repair of the roads is how we conduct ourselves as human beings on the roads. So this was the piety of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh. He had a little child who was crying profusely for a few days before Eid al-Fitr. In Ramadan it was, he's crying. Why is he crying? He complains to his mother, the parents of all the neighborhood children had bought new Eid clothes for them. And therefore he cried to his mother for new clothes for himself. She assured him that she herself would wash his clothes. He will therefore have clean clothes for Eid. But obviously he was not happy. When the Khalifa came home, his wife, obviously she's the queen now, she sadly said, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, next week is Eid. Our son has been crying profusely for new clothes." Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi said, "You are aware that the wage, the salary I receive from the Baytul Mal is not sufficient to buy clothes." Subhanallah. He is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He is the Khalifa. He can just make a simple command and he can have beautiful life, comfortable life. His own salary is not sufficient to even buy his child a new set of clothes for Eid. Allah Ta'ala inspire us, Allah give us hidayat, and the rulers of the world, especially the Muslim rulers of the world. What zulam is being made, and big dynasties they have. No fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zulam upon zulam upon zulam. Where are all these books of history? Allah Ta'ala must make us read these things and give us hidayat. The Khalifa said, "You are aware that the wage I receive from the Baytul Mal is not sufficient to buy clothes. The Baytul Mal is solely for the poor, orphans and widows. I am merely its trustee. It is sinful for even a thought to cross my mind regarding appropriation of any money for my personal needs." And we had mentioned previously also about amanat. People leave trust behind. Or we are trustees, whether of the masjid, madrasa, some organization, some institution. People have donated monies for certain reasons, certain causes. And it should be used accordingly. Now, we can't just pocket the money for ourselves. How often a person, it doesn't mean now somebody now, we always think bad of people, no. Sometimes a trustee of an organization, he's wealthy himself, so he has a nice car. So he is living a comfortable life. But many times we don't realize that this money does not belong to us. This is public money. And it should be used properly accordingly. So he says, "I am merely its trustee. It is sinful for even a thought to cross my mind regarding appropriation of any money for my personal needs." We can't use these monies for our own personal needs. "Don't you have anything which could be sold?" He asked his wife, "You got anything we can sell it?" The queen responded, "You have taken away all my jewels, my jewelries, and assigned them to Baytul Mal." Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi wanted to live a simple life. So he even had encouraged his wife, "All the jewelry we've got, send it to Baytul Mal." So even the valuable necklace which my father, the previous Khalifa, had given me, that too you took away. Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah lowered his head in deep reflection. Then addressing a letter to the custodian of the Baytul Mal, he had appointed a person that you must, whatever instruction I give you, or he was in charge of distributing the money from the Baytul Mal. So he writes a letter now. He is Amir, he is Khalifa. He's got more authority and power. And this person is under him. So he writes a letter to this person who was in charge of the Baytul Mal. And he requested a month's wages in advance. "Then give me 1 month's wage in advance. And through that I'll have some money and I will buy my child some Eid clothes." In response, the custodian of the Baytul Mal wrote, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, I'm at your service. You are the Khalifa, I got to listen to you. However, can you guarantee that you will remain alive for a month? You're asking for salary in advance, but what guarantee you have you'll be alive? Since you are unable to offer this guarantee, why do you desire to burden yourself with the rights of the poor, orphans and widows?" Subhanallah. Even the person who was in charge of Baytul Mal had that type of taqwa. When the Khalifa read the reply, his eyes welled up with tears. He spontaneously exclaimed, "O custodian of the Baytul Mal, you have saved me from destruction." When Eid arrived, Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah Ali walked to the Eidgah, holding the hand of his little boy, wearing the old clothes which his mother had washed with her own hands. May Allah inspire us. These incidents should bring into our lives and understand the different lessons that one derives from these stories. And of course, we should read this, take back home the story and tell our little children about these things. The type of clothes that they demand, the fashion they want to wear, the type of garments they want to adorn themselves with. What type of lifestyle? They're putting so much of pressure on the parents. So what happens when the child grows up? Your daughter, who you're so-called spoiling, giving her all the lavish the type of living in this world while she's still under your care. The moment she gets married, and she's already accustomed to a standard of living, now it's very hard for her to adjust herself. If her husband, Bichara, is not earning a huge salary, like how her father was earning and how he had spoiled her, now she'll make demands. Beginning, he might be able to see to her needs. After that, he won't be able to do it. What happens after that? She'll complain, she'll come back to her father's house. Always have a simple life. Yes, after that, if the husband is able to provide more, then mashallah, she makes shukr. But what has happened? We make our children, or we make such tarbiyah that we give them a very high standard of living. Once a person is accustomed to that, person can't come down. And what happens? Then the husband and wife have endless problems. Allah Ta'ala save us. When a buzurg was performing salat once, a sobbing woman with her hair and face exposed passed right in front of him. The buzurg is reading namaz, and this woman, she's crying, her hair and her face exposed. She passes right in front of him. Buzurg became very agitated and annoyed. Terminating his salat, he exclaimed, "Have you no shame? You shamelessly expose your hair and face and pass in front of me?" The woman firstly apologized and she explained, "My husband has just divorced me. His love had made me oblivious of my condition. My love for him, the grief which has settled on me, made me oblivious of everything. Hence, I did not realize my state." So she gives a valid excuse. "I don't know what happened. I was overcome with grief. My husband just divorced me now. I didn't realize that because I was so engrossed in his love. I loved him dearly. And he's divorced me. What do I do?" And in that state of hers, she didn't realize what she was doing. She ran out with the hair exposed, the face was exposed. And she happened to go past this buzruk who was engaged in salat. So she gives this explanation. Then she says, "But I am bewildered at your state. My absorption in the love for my husband has made me oblivious of everything, despite this love being of a transitory nature." I will repeat that. She says, "I'm bewildered at your state." She says, "My absorption in the love of my husband has made me oblivious of everything, despite this type of love being of a transitory nature and kind. What kind of divine love do you have, which does not render you oblivious? If your divine love is true, if you really loved Allah Ta'ala, how did you observe me in my pitiful state? You wouldn't have even observed me. My going past you and in this condition wouldn't have distracted you." Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Ali was informed of this episode. He commented, "I shall always remember her reprimand. Undoubtedly, this is the defective state of our salat." Now this is the condition of our salat. Everything, any small attraction, immediately we are distracted. So if we ponder over these words of this woman, if we have true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have this divine love, then nothing will distract us. Our mind will be there, concentrating, and we are talking to Allah Ta'ala. This is a communion. We are communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are begging from Allah. We are asking Allah Ta'ala for hidayat. We are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala help us to bring khushu and khudu in our salat, and give us that type of divine love of Allah Ta'ala, that we become oblivious of everything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a very great buzurg of our times, Hazrat Ahmad Lahori Rahmatullah Ali. When he was buried, we have heard this story many times, a wonderful fragrance emanated from his grave. similar to the fragrance which had exuded from the qabr of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi. Smell of musk. All who visited the grave were wonderstruck by this phenomenon. Hazrat Lahori rahmatullahi was almost always in a straight state of grief and shedding tears. Tears, not for dunya, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After many days, one of his khalifas saw him in a dream. He saw Hazrat Lahori rahmatullahi in his dream. Inquired of his condition. Hazrat Lahori rahmatullahi said, when I was ushered in Allah's presence in his dream, he says, when I was ushered in Allah's presence, Allah ta'ala said, Ahmad Ali, why were you so fearful of me? Hazrat Lahori rahmatullahi said to his khalifa in the dream, when I heard this, I became more fearful. And they began to cry profusely. Allah ta'ala then said to me, Ahmad Ali, you are still so fearful. Today is not a day to grieve. It is a day of reward. We are today honoring you. We have forgiven you. And all those who are buried in the Qabristan where you are buried. SubhanAllah. Allah ta'ala wishes he can do this. So this is the barakat of these pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody was explaining. Now of course, doesn't mean now our qabr is buried, put next to somebody, then definitely now we're going to be forgiven. No. We have to make an effort ourselves. We have to connect to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Ask Allah ta'ala forgiveness, tawbah, istighfar, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's any shortcomings that Allah ta'ala gives us this type of moth, that musk fragrance comes out of the qabr. Allah shows the signs of his friend. Even after he passes away, from his qabr, musk smile is coming. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to mention that he met an alim who had mentioned this story about Hazrat Lahori Rahmatullah's qabr. And this alim had said, I went myself. And people, you should actually come and steal the sand from the grave of Hazrat Lahori Rahmatullah because of the smell that of musk. So this Maulana had told of Hazrat Rahmatullah, I had taken a scarf and whatever little bit I could take, I took from there. And the scarf still has the smell of musk. One very great buzuk after that had seen people are coming and then they're going to desecrate his qabr just now. So he made dua to Allah Ta'ala to stop that. It wasn't out of jealousy or anything, but he saw that people are doing something wrong now. And before it becomes some type of innovation, then he made dua, Allah Ta'ala stopped it. But this buzuk Hazrat Lahori Rahmatullah Ali was such a person that he only consumed halal. Never a haram morsel went into his system. Extremely careful, very particular. And if he was given dawat in any person's house, he would just sense that this morsel is derived from haram sources. And then he would refuse to partake. So he could make out immediately. People obviously be afraid now. That come, Hazrat, come to my house, and because you know my wheeling and dealing is not right, Hazrat would get upset. And because of all that, he was mustadabu da'wat. His du'as would be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a very great mufassir. Great ulama would come, especially in the month of Ramadan, he would have dars of Quran, tafsir. So Hazrat Lahori rahmatullahi, this was his condition, that he ensured that only halal will go into his system. No morsel of haram will enter his belly. He was so particular. There is one incident that I mentioned this, some of a friend this morning, Hazrat Lahori rahmatullahi alayh. Some person very close to him, very pious person, invited him one day. Hazrat come for meals. So Hazrat accepted, he went for the dawat. And this person had ensured everything is above board. Nothing must go wrong, you know. About to take the first morsel, he just took the first morsel of food, he sent something wrong. He said, Mujhe isme zina ki bu aa rahi hai. That man got a shock of his life. What is Hazrat talking about now? Because he and his wife were very pious. And everything was above board. Or everything halal. Couldn't understand. He goes into the kitchen, asks his wife, what's this? She said, nothing. How impossible. Maybe Hazrat made a mistake or something. And he says, no, he said, can't check properly. When she pondered and reflected, then from one of the neighbors' homes, they heard there's a dawat by the house. A very great buzurg is coming. Like how sometimes we have some dawat. So people will send something. some savories or whatever it is. So one lady had sent some food. So in that food that was placed, that was the food that Hazrat happened to take the first morsel of. And that particular lady, she was a prostitute. She was a prostitute and her earnings were from prostitution. She's zina ki bu, the smell of zina. But she had given because they were neighbors and they should exchange food, whatever. She passed on this food to this lady. And innocently this lady had accepted and didn't realize and put this on the dasarkhan. Now these are the Allah walas. Allah Ta'ala gives them such type of taqwa and such type of basirat. Sometimes they have kashf or whatever it is. Allah Ta'ala shows them, exposes to them. And so that they can save themselves from that. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. It is so important that our earnings will be absolutely halal. The halal that we consume will have a halal effect in our lives. Haram that we consume will have a haram effect. So many times we find that why are we not coming right in our ibadat? Why our spiritual level is not increasing? I'm doing everything, making tilawah, zikr and everything, going for program. But still I'm not feeling right. Spiritually I'm feeling low, I'm feeling terrible, I'm still making gunas, I can't. One of the reasons is that we are not consuming halal. So the person who was traveling, Rasulullah gives an example of the traveler who was traveling, very long, tedious journey. He is disheveled, his dust on his clothing, and he's tired. And he's in a desert area. Any person upon looking at his condition will feel pity for him. Anybody. Because he's tired and he's traveling for so long, he's got no food. Or he's looking for some type of help. So he raises his hand. And he's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, give me this, Ya Allah, give me that. Whatever duas he's making. But then Rasulullah says, then Allah ta'ala says, that وَمَطْعَمُوا حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُوا حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُوا حَرَامُ وَمَرْكَبُوا حَرَامُ. This man's food, income, his source of income is all haram. The food he's partaking is haram. Whatever he's drinking is haram. His clothing is haram. In other words, earned from haram earnings. And his conveyance is also from haram earnings. وَأَنَّا يُسْجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. How can such a person dua then be answered by Allah Ta'ala? So Rasulullah said, how can such a person dua be answered? So the effect of haram is what? That your dua won't be answered. The effect of haram is that your dua won't be answered. Hajjaj bin Yusuf was a tyrant. Killed thousands of ulama. Caused great havoc in the earth. The moment he became the ruler, first thing he did, he called all the pious people of his town, gave them a nice dawat. After all of them partook of the meals, he said, now you can go and make what dua you want against me. Nothing going to be accepted. I fed you with haram. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhar rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa amalu saliha. Allah instructs the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam even. Eat that which is halal, wholesome. And do good deeds. Ulama say that from this we understand, you want amal saliha in your life, then you must have tayyibat in you. You must have halal. Halal, this is the effect of halal. Allah Ta'ala give us halal source of income. May Allah make us eat, only consume halal. Doesn't mean the halal logo is there, it is halal. That's another whole discussion on its own. Whatever is doubtful, we should refrain from it totally. We'll end off with one incident. It's of a cat. I think we heard this before from Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, but we will mention it again. About his wonderful cat, how it sacrificed its life. Mawlana Jami Rahmatullah Ali narrated in his kitab an episode of a cat which belonged to Sheikh Zanjani Rahmatullah Ali. He says when guests would come to the khanka of the Sheikh, the cat would meow. And the number of meows always equaled the number of visitors. So the cook would then prepare meals for the guests according to the numbers of meows indicated by the cat. So this cat would meow, see how many visitors coming, and so many meows it would make, and the cook who is far away, he'll realize there's so many visitors and guests, so he will prepare food accordingly. One day it happened that the guests were more than the cat's meows. The inmates of the hanka were surprised, wondered why the cat had made a mistake today. Suddenly the cat approached the guests and began smelling each one. While smelling one of the guests, the cat suddenly urinated on him. Inquiries about this man established that he was a fasiq, an immoral sinner. The riddle was thus solved. The cat did not regard this man as a pious person who came to the khanka. So the cat didn't regard him as a guest, a visitor there. One day the cook was preparing porridge in a big pot. A black snake appeared and fell into the pot of porridge. While the cat had observed this, the cook was unaware. The cat tried its best to alert the cook to the danger. It made queer noises when around the pot which was on the fire. Despite the cook repeatedly chasing the cat, it refused to leave, continued to display extreme agitation. The cook is not realizing what's happening. Now how is the cat going to speak and see the snake inside? Finally, when the cat realized, the cook was unable to understand the message that it was trying to convey, it made the supreme sacrifice to save the people, the pious people of the khanka, from the poisonous porridge. It leapt into the pot of boiling porridge in full view of the cook, thus sacrificing its life to save the murids and guests of the sheikh. Now the cook was compelled to throw away the porridge. When the pot was emptied, the people were shocked to see, along with the cat, with the cat's dead body, they saw the dead snake. Now everyone understood why the cat had acted so queerly. In appreciation of this cat sacrifice, then it was buried also in the Qabristan there. Another long story. But the point is, this is what this makhluk of Allah Ta'ala did to save who? The pious friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala makes the type of intizam. The Ashabi Kaf, those companions of the cave, the seven sleepers as we say, how were they saved? Or by the way, how were they protected in the cave? They slept for such more than 300 years. But at the entrance of the cave, this dog has spread its legs and it remained in that condition. So anybody would come, they would see this dog, they would become terrified and they would run away. And this dog had joined them, these youngsters. These youngsters who brought Iman. Their parents were all disbelievers. And the king was going to kill them if they did not renounce Islam. And Allah Ta'ala made this type of intizam for them. That this is how Allah Ta'ala protected them. And Allah Ta'ala put this makhluk of his dog at the entrance of the cave, so no person will come and attack them. Rasulullah SAW and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, when they were making hijrat, at the cave, at the mouth of the cave, what was there? Spider's web. Spider's web. Pigeon's egg. So Allah Ta'ala uses these type of makhluk to protect his bandas. If you are the friend of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala makes such intizam for you. Why? Because you are becoming Allah Ta'ala's. May Allah Ta'ala give us His true muhabbat, His marifat, His love. May Allah Ta'ala direct us towards Him and make our dunya asan for us and our akhirat asan for us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.